today on Real Radio.
Everything that you and I have observable in this world screams creator designer. If it's the blade of grass to the glasses sitting on your nose, they could not exist without a creator. Logic dictates that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues a series called Life and Bible with a message called Being a Christian While Being on Campus, Part 1. You know, we all have numerous positions in life, but being a Christian carries with it a new kind of responsibility. The Bible tells us that knowing God's will for our lives requires wisdom and spiritual understanding. But deeper still, we need to know how to put what we know into action. What does a Christian student look like? And how does a Christian student present their faith on campus? Creation and evolution will certainly be debated. How we got here will be the foundation of all your arguments. But God and creation do not contradict each other. With that said, the Christian student needs to hold fast to what God says in His Word. God is the author of reason and logic, and He'll be on your side. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack says that unless Christian students are deeply grounded in their relationship with Christ, many will lose their faith by the end of their fourth year in college. Why? Well, because they're targeted, ridiculed, and stripped of their freedoms to hold on to what they believe in. And now, in a message called Being a Christian While Being on Campus, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
What's going on the campuses today? And being a Christian, being a student, what does that look like if you're going to be a Christian on campus today? And the fact that people are watching you if you're a Christian. Oh, by the way, let me say this. I'll shock you right now. If you're a Christian and if you're on campus today, I highly recommend that you do not walk into class or go about announcing that you're a Christian. Now, you're probably thinking, I can't believe he just said that. That's right, I said it. I do not think you should walk into a class and announce, by the way, I'm a Christian. You don't do that anymore. It's not compromise what I'm talking about. In fact, Jesus said it. He said, don't cast the pearl before swine, lest they grab it, turn, and rend you. This world today is antichrist. You announce that you're a Christian, or you somehow indicate that you're a Christian, and we'll get through the study tonight. There's a way to do it. But you are a target. If you walk onto a campus today, for those of you who are in college, listen, those of you over here who are not in college, you need to put your seatbelt on. If you plan on going to college, you need to really pray about that, that when you show up to a college campus, on your first day, one of the teachers, if not several teachers, are going to ask you, certainly before the week is up, I'd like to get to know my students in this class. What's your name? And what do you do? And what are your interests? And they have an agenda. I'm telling you right now, they have an agenda. They're going to pull it on you. And unless you're super grounded in Christ, you will not survive. 88% of young people today leaving high school do not have faith in Jesus Christ by their fourth year of college. They give up on their faith in God. They wind up hating the Bible and believing God doesn't exist. Why? They are ridiculed and stripped of their freedoms to hold to what they believe in. Much like Miss California is being attacked right now for all that she believes in. You are not allowed to have an individual thought in America today. You've got to pull the line, my friend, and somebody who stands out and stands up, especially for God, is going to be a target. But in that classroom, they're going to somehow get to you to find out, oh, so you're religious and you are, what are you? Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, class, look. Oh, man, I thought you guys went out with the dinosaurs. Look, everybody take a picture. Get your phones out. Take a picture. There's a Christian in our class. My goodness. And from that moment on, you're under attack. There is a way to witness for Christ. You don't go to court these days and say, officer, I'm really sorry for committing that offense, and I should have known better. I'm a Christian. You know what? You're going to jail. That guy might have let you off if you would have said you're a pedophile or a rapist. They might have let you off. But now you are an enemy of the state if you're a Christian. unbelievable things going on in our culture today. Where does it all come from? It's platform number one, point number one, being a Christian on campus today. Let's look at the creation versus evolution debate. And we're going to run through these things. We're just going to scratch them, obviously. It would take a much greater time to get in depth. But this is fundamental for our culture to survive. And that is this: origins matter, my friend. Origins matter because your origin is the foundation for all of your arguments as a person. If you are an evolutionist, you conduct your life based upon the evolutionary theory, and your logic and your reason and your life's outcome is based upon the fact that you believe that we are animals and that we are really no different or better than anything else. In fact, you believe in the survival of the fittest, and if somebody more fit than you comes along, then you must yield to them. You're not created equal. And this is a very serious thing. But listen, in the evolutionary theory of it all versus the creation theory or belief that you and I hold of it all, let's just remember these few things. You ought to write them down, because these are the things that will turn your classroom into an amazing, wonderful place to attend should the Lord open this door for you. If evolution is true, because you know it's either going to be creation or evolution, and that's the foundation of everything else where we go from today. Number one, if evolution is true, there must be overwhelming evidence to back up the evolutionary claim, right? If it's true, then there must be overwhelming evidence to back up its claim. So, produce the evidence. Let's see the evidence. Don't talk to me about it. And don't take me to a museum of a huge T-Rex. By the way, I believe in T-Rex. I believe they lived, and that's obvious. The dinosaurs lived. But so many dinosaurs, you guys, I'm 51 or something, I forget. It's great, after 50 years old, you forget stuff, so you don't even know how old you are anymore. It's very, very cool. But I've lived long enough to watch the cartoon drawings of dinosaurs now change. When I was young, some of them had skin like a lizard. Now they have feathers. Did you know that? Now they got feathers, because they said it had to have feathers. Things are changing. But I'm telling you right now, as you look at these things, I want to see the evidence. If you're going to show me a dinosaur skeleton, and I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but when you go to the museum, there's about 17 bones, and out of the 350 that are there, 17 are real, and the rest are reconstructed beliefs. And they don't tell you that when you look at that awesome, incredible thing, okay? But show me the evidence. Don't give me your theory. If it's true, let's talk. Second thing, is evolution a fact or theory? It's a theory, but it's presented as a fact, isn't it? In your school campuses, if you say the evolutionary theory, eyebrows are going to be raised and fingers are going to be pointed at you, because you are not holding to it as though it were gospel itself. You are supposed to believe that evolution's true and that it is a fact. Richard Dawkins says that evolution is as proved a fact as any other thing in this world. He's on record, on video, on tape. You saw him say it in the movie Expelled. That is an insane statement to make. And then by the end of the movie, Richard Dawkins says, well, we don't know how life ever began and how it ever came about. And there could be a God, but we're not going to go there. Which is it? Listen, thirdly, does evolution support all other sciences? Just the science of entropy, the second law of thermodynamics, announces that everything goes from an ordered state to a chaotic state. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be a scientist. You don't have to be a physicist to figure that out. When you buy a new car, how long is that car new for? In fact, when you see the car on the lot, by the time you sign the paperwork and get the car off the lot, the car has already aged about 6 hours. Why? Because the second law of thermodynamics, everything is going from an ordered state to a chaotic state. When you buy something and put it together, it's only a matter of weeks or months that you have to tighten the nuts and bolts on it again, right? The bolts and nuts never tighten, they always loosen. Why? Everything in the scientific community goes from order to chaos. The universe started at a point in time. You can do reverse mathematics in astrophysics and back the universe to its starting point. How do you know? Because it's moving onward at a certain rate. You reverse that rate and bring it back, and it began at some point in time. I tell you when. I know exactly when it began. The day that God said, "Let there be light, and let there be earth, and let there be the universe," and then there—that's the day. I know the day. does evolution support the laws of science? The answer is absolutely no. It doesn't. It violates the laws of science. Nothing is getting better. Nothing is growing upward and onward. For crying out loud, if we were still evolving, most humans have dreams or desires, I said this a few weeks ago, to fly. Why did we ever, in the process, ever lose our wings? Why did we give those wings up to some bird? Why didn't we keep those? And now I go to a movie and I watch Wolverine. And he's got so many cool friends. They can fly. They can do all this stuff. And I'm thinking, why did we give that up in the evolutionary train ride? Why did we jettison that stuff? I would like to be able to do that. How come we can't swim underwater indefinitely? We should have kept that part. I'm being facetious, intentionally mocking, but come on. And then people try to tell us dolphins are smarter than us. Really? I mean, come on. Evolution does not support the sciences. Sciences do not support evolution. Is evolution consistent with the observable universe? No, it's not. In fact, we're telling you and encouraging you, don't miss that Wednesday night. I forget when it is, but you don't forget. That's going to be an awesome night. You're going to see the glory of God in the heavens, courtesy of the Hubble telescope, the Humble. I think it's humbling us more than hubbling us. Well, listen, what about creationism? What about the creation of God? Is it true? Or the creation of the universe and all material matter by God? Is it true? Well, there must be overwhelming evidence to back up the creation claim. You have to apply the same rules. When a teacher says to you, evolution is true, you need to say, can you explain something? Define that. How did it come about? And when they start talking about, well, one has to believe that. No. Don't come walking up to me with your interpretation of science. If you're going to cut into my belly and take out my spleen or whatever you're going to rip out, I want you to know your stuff. Don't come to me with a theory. Well, I think your kidney's right about over here. Oh, no, maybe it's on this side. Get out of my room. There must be overwhelming evidence to back up creation's claim. Well, listen. The Bible announces that God created. Number one, the supposition is this, that God is a designer and a creator. He calls himself the creator. What attributes does a creator have? The ability to have concept, design, idea, to put those things together and to not only assemble and produce something, which all takes reason and logic. It takes a creator to drive a Mercedes-Benz. It takes a creator to fly an airplane. It takes a creator to wear the clothes you're wearing. Everything that you and I have observable in this world screams creator designer. If it's the blade of grass to the glasses sitting on your nose, they could not exist without a creator. Logic dictates that. So where's the evidence? The evidence is the blade of grass is more complex than the space shuttle that just launched this week. We can make a shuttle, but we can't make grass. It's amazing. Well, is creation a fact or theory? By the evidence of science, creation becomes a fact. Because you cannot point to me anything out in this world that has evolved. But Pastor, there's things, you know, when you take a frog and from the desert and you put it into an aquarium where it's slimy and wet, the frog grows, it drops its thumbs. This is a true story, you know. Are you guys with me? The thumbs fall off on the frog, on the male frog, only the male, by the way. Apparently the frog does not live in California. The thumbs fall off and it grows a hook, like a cat claw. The desert frog gets into a wet tank, drops its thumbs, grows some hooks, and gets on top of the female and makes little frogs. Okay? People will say, that's evolution, you silly person, you. You might have thought so until you take the DNA out of that frog and find out that written in the DNA code of that frog is the ability, when it's in a moist environment, to drop its thumbs and grow some hooks to propagate the race. Here's evolution, that the frog gets kissed by Mrs. Frog, and that frog turns into a prince and comes to Calvary Chapel. That's evolution. variation within the species. Listen, this is a big deal in evolution. Is, oh, look at this. No, wait a minute. We know in Papua New Guinea, we know that when the rains come, very, very heavy rains during the winter, that when the springtime comes, all the finches grow huge beaks. Huge beaks. And they go, evolution. And then when the rains are not so heavy and there's little growth in the grasses, their beaks remain small. They fluctuate from year to year based upon what? Based upon the level of rain, which produces what? The level of grass and seed growing. And so when there's a lot of grass, guess what God said? I'm writing in the DNA variation within the species. Just like there's black humans, white humans, yellow, red humans, tall humans, short humans. Variation within the species. But you never see people walking by and then into something else. Hey! Look at me! Unbelievable stuff. What's the evidence? Does creationism support all the other sciences? This is the cool part. Yep. Why? Well, why? Why? Because our God made both. That's why. Our God is God, and He made creation. He made the physical universe in complete connection with His Word. He's the engineer of them both. Good science, true, repeatable science applied to this world. Open up your Bible, open up your science together. Right on target every time. This universe is absolutely an announcement of perfect precision. Remarkable. Right now you're sitting here so comfortable. Imagine if this globe that you're sitting on moved 5 miles closer to the sun right now. You'd be burning up. 5 miles away from the sun, you'd all be freezing. God knows exactly what He's doing. Okay, listen, by the way, almost all the founding fathers of science were Judeo-Christian in their values. Did you know that? Don't believe me? Go look it up and see. Search it out and see. Almost all of the founding fathers of science were Judeo-Christian in their belief. They believed in the God of the Bible, whether they be Christians or Jews. And that's a fact. You can get books on that, by the way, regarding their faith. So class, listen, you have logic and reason on your side. If you're ever brought into that place where somebody is going to question you or talk to you about, what do you think about creation? Listen, you have logic and reason on your side. People get all hostile about God because they don't want to think about ever talking to Him or meeting Him. But I just want to say this, and this is one of those offensive statements. I believe that if you cannot consider the Creator God of the universe, you are intellectually dishonest. I'm sorry if that hurts you, but it's true. Christians, we never need to be afraid in our classrooms regarding the evidence. Because the evidence, if it's true evidence, if it's true, proved, it will bring you closer to God. Don't worry about it. Oh, we found people running around on some planet somewhere. I remember when everyone was talking about when we got close to Mars, oh my goodness, what are we going to see? Well, first of all, if there would have been people there, they probably would have been smarter than us. They probably would have like John 3:16 waving at the camera as it flew by. God made it all. It's very important. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the first verse of the Bible. You get through that verse right there, it's downhill the rest of the way. The Bible's easy after that. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 to 22. For since the creation of the world is invisible, attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, or they knew about God, they did not glorify Him as God, neither were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So here's what they do. Professing themselves to be wise, they've become fools. Wow. But listen, Darwin 1:1 says, in the beginning was an accident. Everything you see is so fantastically perfect and wonderful that it had to come from a big accident. Darwin 1:2 says, God cannot be the cause and effect of creation because it doesn't fit into the way I want to think or live my life. I made that up, but it's good. Point number two tonight, history versus the creative writing of the revisionist. I know that's a long one, but history, real history. Say, I don't like history. You get older, you like history because you become part of history because you're older. History versus creative writing or the creative writing of the revisionist. Revisionism is a big deal right now. And quite frankly, suckers fall for revisionism. Suckers fall for it. Huh? There was no George Washington. Really? Wow. They just fall for it. People in authority have an agenda. They make a statement. And people without research, skills, or passion, they don't study it. In this modern day age where everyone's texting back and forth and Twittering and they're emailing and they're blogging and they're Facebooking and all the stuff that goes on, what do you know is true? You can go to Wikipedia. You know Wikipedia is a big deal because it's convenient. Did you know that Wikipedia itself has a disclaimer and says this stuff may or may not be true? Did you know that? I remember talking to Brigitte Gabriel, and I said, you know, I was looking at you at Wikipedia, and I had to laugh. She goes, yeah, I was reading about me on Wikipedia. And she said, it says there that Brigitte Gabriel claims to have been born in Lebanon. Well, guess what? Brigitte Gabriel was born in Lebanon. She didn't write that piece about herself. Somebody else did. Watch out what you hear. But see, we've not taught critical thinking. And so when that's not present, there'll be the revisionism taking place that we're seeing today. I told you last week, John Adams said, facts are stubborn things. I love that. And from the world history to the birth of America to the current events of our day, politics, religion, culture are being reinterpreted through the revisionist lens, which shows everything in a crisis today and everything we need to fix because the world's blowing up any moment. And it probably is, but they've got all this stuff about how badly we need to commandeer the planet and make it work. Listen, it's worked fine before we got here. God's timepiece is perfect. We're not God. He knows what he's doing. But there's an attempt to revise God out of America. Who's doing that? The revisionist, changing history. There's an attempt to remove God out of government, out of our schools, and out of our courts. In almost every one of those areas, they've succeeded. And our kids are growing up today in a godless system with secular textbooks that make fun of God, mock Jesus Christ, and pay more attention to and more volume of information to Marilyn Monroe than George Washington. And how will Marilyn Monroe help you in life versus the incredible perseverance of a George Washington? Unless you're playing Trivia Pursuit. I guess maybe knowledge of her will help. But the value of history is this. History is his story to us. And you know the old saying, for those who don't know history will be bound to repeat it. You only lick that hot iron once. You'll never do it twice. A child that has burned their fingers on an oven, they'll never do it a second time. Why? History.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a message called Being a Christian While Being on Campus, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today, and, you know, keep pushing forward. That's the bottom line. When you stay true to your faith in Christ, He is faithful to be there for you in whatever you're going through. Being a Christian While Being on Campus, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible, a collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of real life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, it goes without saying that the world is in crisis. That's why as Christians, it's important to keep learning and growing spiritually, daily. We are all students in the school of life, and unless we stay close to the Lord through prayer and devotions, well, then it's easy to slip into the things of this world. That's why Pastor Jack has devotions at his website that he's written personally. There's a new one each week, by the way, but you can always go back and check out previous ones so you can spend some private time with the Lord on a daily basis. Simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Click on that tab there labeled Devotions. It really is that easy. Again, it's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or you can access Pastor Jack's devotions on the Real Life mobile app. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.